This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So, welcome to Dilemmas with Jess Ellis. And today, my guest is the man, the voice, the legend. I'm sorry, Michael. I know that's your bio. But it's Adam Wilbourn. Is it Wilbourn or Wilbourn? I get so nervous with people's names. I think I've said it wrong.
It's Wilbourn. You were close enough. I'll give you that.
Wilbourn. So, yeah. Like you're being born.
Something like that, yeah.
And for people that can't notice already from me talking, you are the person at the end of my podcast that says...
You've been listening to... Yeah.
Yeah. We get the idea. And you have your own podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to tell the story before I talk about my podcast.
So okay.
The first time Jess and I actually properly met...
Jesus Christ.
...was your 32nd birthday, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think next year I'm going to do 32 again.
just have a second go at it, yeah.
That was just a trial run. I'm going to go for it again.
Yeah, so I live in Newcastle. I'd driven all the way over from Newcastle to Liverpool because we were going to meet up with you guys, then we were going to go and see a gig. So I turned up stone cold sober at about 8 o'clock at night, and everyone else had been, well, understandably celebrating your birthday for a few hours.
Yeah, I think I drank a bottle of gin by then.
So I come in and I think, right, I should probably introduce myself properly.
I just need to interject as well that this is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Yes.
I don't... So this is a new story for me.
So I go in and I say, hi, Jess, I'm Adam. How are you? How's all the podcast going? Hi, Adam. Yes, good. Do you like podcasts? Are you involved in any podcasts or anything? And I went, Jess, I'm the voice of your podcast.
That's so embarrassing. One thing I will tell you, what I do remember, is that there was a big period of nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of came back to life, if you remember this.
Yes.
But it was like I met you again for the first time. Yeah. Because I heard your voice and I was like, oh my God. But this was hours and hours later.
Yeah, you kept reintroducing me to Michael, being like, this is the guy. And he's like, I know.
So that was our first meeting. Yes. Apologies for that.
That's okay.
For my 33rd birthday, hopefully I'll remember it. So can you tell us a bit about your podcast then?
Yes. So I work for a sort of website / YouTube channel / I suppose now sort of podcast network called What Culture. I mainly work on the wrestling side of things. So I do the wrestling
videos. Stupid question. Mm. Like, are you a massive wrestling fan?
Yes. Right, yeah. No, okay. I was a huge wrestling fan growing up. And then I think most wrestling fans have this sort of dark period where they either think they're too cool for it or they get bored of it or whatever. And then it's...
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, right. So, yeah, because I remember it being big when I was like a teenager.
Yeah, like late 90s.
And we kind of like... I remember like some of my friends getting into it a little bit. Mm. And then a bit like my 32nd birthday, then a black hole. Like, yeah. I don't really remember it after that.
Yeah, there's the Attitude Era, which is sort of the end of the 90s, very sort of early beginnings of the noughties. And then it took a bit of a turn.
Is that like The Undertaker?
Undertaker, Rock, Stone Cold, all the classic
Stone Cold
ones.
Steve Austin.
Exactly.
See,
all the...
Who?
All, Kane.
Okay.
Who's now a mayor in America. That's a thing, yeah.
Really?
I mean, not as Kane, granted, that'd be weird. But,
yeah. Do you want one? Do you want a beer?
I'll have a...
Just do it.
It might be the only thing that keeps me going today.
Because we might... I just want to add, actually, just to let you know about the beer thing, is that, Adam, you've just got back from your stag do.
Yeah, so we got back after 3 days in Amsterdam. So this beer might be nursed the entire of the podcast.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What goes on tour stays on tour, right?
Yeah. Well, apart from the bruises I've got on my arse.
How have you got them?
So I was dressed up as a Playboy bunny surrounded by 7 or 8 Hugh Hefners on the big night of the stag do.
I mean, it was Easter, so it was very
indeed.
Current.
Yeah, I was in a sort of latex cat suit, is the best way to describe it, with a little tail on the end, some bunny ears, a lovely blonde wig, which really brought out my eyes.
And now you can really feel how uncomfortable women's clothing is.
Oh, yes. I do not envy that on a regular basis. And yeah, we were, as part of one of the competitions we were playing, you scored points for different things.
Yeah.
We're in Amsterdam. You can probably guess what some of those different things were.
Absolutely.
I can neither confirm or deny half of those things you're probably thinking. But yeah, some of them were like, find the worst titled porn movie. So there was one we found called So Much Incest, which really
That sounds
really
right up my
me.
Street.
Or love the taste of piss. Like, the woman on the cover as well looked like she really, really loved it as well.
And it's just so, I mean, self-explanatory, so yeah. Basic. Like,
and we're quite conservative, I'd put it, in this country when it comes to adult toys. Yeah. Not the case in Amsterdam. One of the challenges was take a photo with like the biggest adult toy you can find.
Yeah.
And some of them looked like heavy artillery. There was one I pointed out that was like black. It was probably about 3 feet long.
Yeah.
And it looked like something, if you had it in here in your house, it's like a house decoration.
It looks it belonged in it, to be fair.
No one would go, well, that's a dildo. They'd go, oh, that's a nice little weird piece of art you've got there. Not, oh no, that goes inside me when the lights go down later.
Oh my god!
So it was quite the experience. But yeah, one of the big tasks we had to do was for every person who spanked a member of your team, you scored 3 points. So we went to one of like the busiest bridges in Amsterdam. It's what, 8-9 o'clock at night? So everyone's out. Everyone's having a good time. It's Saturday night, I think it was. Everyone crossing Amsterdam.
There's no safer place than Amsterdam to play that game.
Oh, absolutely. No one was like, how could you possibly suggest this? This
it was,
I mean, I'd felt the effects the next day.
Bruised.
Oh, 100%.
You bruised like a peach now.
I do indeed bruise like a peach, thanks to my... Yeah, ahead of the stag do. You don't want your best man or any of the boys going on stag do to be given any extra ammunition. They've already known you long enough to know what you like, what you don't like, and how to really get to you. So my fiancé, well, she was ringing half the boys going, you better look after him or I'll hurt you. And okay. She would. You know, I love her for that. But she texts saying, please don't do anything too nasty to him. He bruises like a peach. And I was like, you don't need that, babe.
May, your new name, I hope someone was calling you Peach.
Peachy Blinder, is that right? Yeah, that was the nickname I got.
Peachy Blinder. Yeah. She asked for that.
I mean, she's not wrong. I'm not sure you can still see. So I've got still it every
you've
day.
Got that, you've got that ginger skin that I have.
I'm just happy.
We're very see-through, aren't we?
I'm just happy I've got by without getting sunburned.
Yeah, I know, fair play. You must have put your 50 on.
Yeah. Well, the latex catsuit helped, so.
So.
Oh, God, I knew this was coming.
So you have listened to this podcast before. Mm. You know how this works. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to pick anything but the blue.
Anything but the blue.
Yes, because I'm annoyed with the blue.
I was eyeing up the blue. What's that?
It's like blueberry or toothpaste. Like, how's toothpaste bad?
Yeah.
Like, all the others are like sick or something else. And this one's like blueberry or toothpaste. So I'll just remind you. So it's this one. The green one is either watermelon or snot, or some sneaky ones are sprouts.
Right, okay. I'm going to avoid that one definitely because I don't...
Oh, no, you have
to
close your eyes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Pink is fresh blood or...
What's the bad side
so
of this
weird.
One?
strawberry, cat food or cola. There's a white one underneath there. White one is like tutti frutti or rotten milk.
Oh, no.
And then this one's like rotten cheese. But yeah, so if you close your eyes and go and dig into there, then after three, we will do it together. Okay. I'll make sure that you don't get a blue.
Are you gonna look at the one I've got?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, that's never a good noise.
Okay.
Especially when two people in the room make that noise. Oh.
Also, I don't know if you're aware of it, but a couple of podcasts ago, we made a new rule that...
You have to swallow it.
Yes. Okay, so after three. Okay, one, two, three.
I'm so nervous.
What is it? You'd know by now, you'd know.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I think I'm in the clear. What was it?
I'm in the clear. It was cola. Is it cola?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God.
But the sad thing about that is, because we both didn't get it, we have to do it again.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think, no, it is actually, it's coming now. Yeah, it's, what is it, cat food?
So we have to go again.
Right.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. After three. One, two, three.
Oh. Oh.
A watermelon. Mmm.
Oh, what is that?
Oh, my God. Is it bad?
That's so rank.
Oh. It stays with you for a
long
time.
Why did we do this the day after my stag do? My stomach is not okay.
Okay, so this is bride-to-be 26 from Wolverhampton. This is good for you.
This is, yeah.
Hi, Jess. I got engaged in 2017, and in all the excitement, I told my friend she'd definitely be a bridesmaid. However... 2 years later, and with the wedding being planned for 2021, mm-hmm. I've changed my mind. And I don't want her to be a bridesmaid anymore. We used to be good friends when we worked together, but we're in new jobs now and don't really speak as much as we used to. Do I tell her she's not a bridesmaid anymore or just not mention it to her again, in brackets, even though she's mentioned it to me? Thanks.
Wow. Start us out with an easy one then, eh?
Yeah.
So engaged in 2017, it's 2019 now, if you're getting married in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. Because I get it, you make, in all the excitement of getting engaged and weddings and what have you, you make a lot of promises to people, like, we should definitely do this, I'd love you to be a part of this or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, when you sit down and work it out, there's loads of mates, I'd love to be groomsmen or the best men or, you know, anything like that. But at the end of the day, you have to limit it.
It's expensive.
Yeah. It's not just the expense, it's just the fact that it would look ridiculous if you had 20 groomsmen up
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You know, you can sort of divvy it up. You're a groomsman, you're an usher, you know, et cetera, et cetera. For me, it was thankfully relatively easy. There wasn't even a thought process for Ben being my best man. And also the good thing is being the bloke who proposes, you've already sort of half worked it out in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure the girls, you know, girls think about it for years and years on end.
Yeah, they've already got a scrapbook.
So yeah, so they have sort of planned it out, but... Wow.
I think, okay, before we give advice to this person, one bit of advice would be, in all the excitement, hold your excitement in and really think about it first. Mm. And also, like we just touched on when we were speaking before, it's your wedding. And I've spoke to so many people and one of their regrets of their wedding was trying to please other people.
Absolutely.
And trying to please too many people. So I would say that base level. But another thing I would say is, listen, you cannot bury your head in your veil, right?
I was going to suggest burying your head in your veil. Yeah, just clarify it.
You can't, especially because she's put in, you know, in brackets, even though she's mentioned it to me.
Yeah, if she hadn't brought it up, I was thinking, I was going to say, like, deny any knowledge of this, pretend this never happened and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be tough.
Don't put any pictures on social media. Don't invite her.
If she turns around and goes, when are we doing the bridesmaid stuff? You kind of have to confront it. I'm not a fan of...
I would say, right... You've given us a few reasons of why you don't want it to be a bridesmaid anymore. Because we all know that circumstances and friendships change. You know, at the end of the day, I guess I've got friends that maybe I don't work in the same capacity anymore. Mm. And maybe we live in different places and don't speak to anymore, but I would still consider us to have a really good friendship.
One of those friends that when you meet up again, you don't have to say, how's work going? How's such and such?
Yeah, you just pick it back up.
You just get back into the conversation. I think, from what I took from that, is not only have we grown apart, we're growing further apart. And she's one of those people who, say in 10 years' time, when you look back at your wedding photos, it'd be like, best mate, best mate, best mate, best mate. Oh, I don't really speak to her anymore.
Yeah.
I like you say, I think first and foremost, when it comes to wedding, and I've learned this, because I try and be sort of accommodating for people, but your ruthless side comes out the closer and closer you get to your wedding. I remember we went for like a taster thing, and they were like, oh yeah, the red wine, the Merlot or whatever. I'm not a wine drinker that much anyway. Like, the Merlot's not very good. We could always spend an extra of like however many quid per head and get a nicer wine. And I was like, bollocks, I'm not paying any more than that.
Absolutely.
I was like,
they can drink the vinegar.
No one's going to come up to me and go, lovely wedding, fantastic day, but the red wine tasted like shit.
Yeah.
They're just not going to mention it. They can be as cat as they want behind my back. I ain't going to hear
but
about
also,
it.
Also, they're just going to be like, wine-free table, yeah. Like whatever it tastes like. I would say in this situation, though, I mean, honesty is the best policy. And do you know what? I'm saying honesty is the best policy, but you can bend the truth to save someone's feelings. You can say, listen, you know, in money situations, I've asked a few people and my sister or whatever, she's involved now, and we'd really love you to be a part of the wedding, but...
I think we've worked out. I think you combine that with, look... we're only going to have 4 bridesmaids or whatever. It's going to be my sister, my maid of honour, and these are the two.
We're hoping she's got a sister.
Yeah, the way you also get around it is make up a role specifically for her.
Yeah.
So say like, I know I said I was going to get you to be a bridesmaid, but there's this really important thing that I need you to do.
And a reading.
I only trust you to do it or something like that. So make her still feel involved and important in the wedding, but just take away the bridesmaids. As with one hand you take away, you give her something else.
Yeah.
Whether it be a reading, whether it be, I don't know. But
it's like speaking to children when you're like, oh, you can't have that sweet, but look at this carrot that I've made into a snowman.
And it's got a smiley face.
And if you eat it, you'll be able to see in the dark. Like, listen, bribery is the best form of anything, really.
I think so. I think you have to turn around and say, I know we said you're going to be one of my bridesmaids, but we've been sort of running the numbers and it wouldn't, you know, if depends how bad you want to feel. If you want to turn around and say, look, my other half hasn't got that many friends, so we can't have that many bridesmaids because it'd look weird if you had three groomsmen. Or if you just want to say, look, my bridesmaids are going to be these. And I know I said I was going to ask you to be a bridesmaid, but yes, I really need you to do this reading because it'd mean so much more to me. Rather than being involved, and try and put it down, rather than being involved in all the bridesmaid stuff, I'd like you to be the person who does this reading on my special day. And I think they'll still feel involved, and I don't think they're going to get that nose put out. It's not like you're saying you can't come to my wedding anymore.
Although, you know, we're going with it's your wedding and do what you want, you have to take on some responsibility for saying you're going to be a bridesmaid. Like, you've put that out there now. So, like we're saying, there has to be something offered, and you cannot in any way just ignore it.
No.
You cannot. Because if she is at the wedding, it's just going to be so eggy, be the elephant in the room. You'll, like, I don't know.
Someone's going to say it within earshot of you. Oh, don't the bridesmaids look nice? And she goes, yeah, I was meant to be one of them.
Yeah,
she's
going
to be really awkward.
She'll get pissed at the wedding. She'll be like, fucking it up.
She looks like a whore in that dress.
Also, like, you don't want to, like, hide. We all know when you don't want to do something or you've not done something, then, I don't know, you and your bridesmaids go out for a day looking at a dress and you want to take a nice picture of it and it goes on social media or something and it's like, oh no, you can't put it on social media because... And like,
she'd comment, wish I was there or something.
Yeah, fuck that. You can't hide from it, but there's ways around it, like white lying. Tell a little white... I don't think there's anything wrong with bending the truth if it's for the sake of someone else's feelings. Mm. I mean, don't have an affair and then say, oh no, I didn't do it, so I love you. But you know what I mean? But in no way, I'm just saying this outright, can you just ignore, you can't ignore that.
And the advice for everyone else is, when you get engaged and you're all giddy and someone says, who are you going to be your bridesmaids? Just say, oh, I haven't decided yet.
Just say, oh, I'm having a flower girl.
You're going to dig yourself a hole here that you cannot get out of.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
Okay, are we ready for our next dilemma? This, I can sense a bit of a theme here. Worried wife, 33, from Stevenage.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jess. My husband has come back from his best friend's stag do. They won't tell me anything. Saying that what happens in Budapest stays in Budapest. Does that mean something bad happened? And do you think I should ask some more questions or should I just leave it? Well, this is going to be you when you get home, no?
Yeah, how was the stag do? Good?
Can I just say, I think men are like that in general, though. Like, say I go on a night out or I go somewhere. Michael, but what happened? I'm like, right, well, what happened at 12:30 was this. And then think you got sick in the toilet after that. And then this guy that I used to see 10 years ago... I'll say, how was the night? How was your night out? Yeah, good. What happened? Yeah, we just had a few. It was good. There's like, and I'm like, what?
I think you should. Relationships should live and die on trust. And if you don't trust someone, or you, I've known people who like think jealous or whatever, and it spreads through the relationship and it just ruins the whole thing. So I think the big thing here.
I always say that, like, you know, whenever like friends or anything are paranoid or whatever, I think if someone's going to go out and cheat on you, right, they're going to do it. It could be anywhere, any day, and you could never find out about it, or you could find out about it. So what is the point in worrying yourself?
It's like mad. Half the time when people do it, or people stress about that sort of thing, they end up becoming so focused on that, they either push someone into actually doing it, or just someone goes, I can't handle this anymore, and they don't have a relationship anyway.
Yeah.
I think I get it. It's very hard to turn around and say to someone, and just say, don't worry about it, but don't worry about it. The fact that it's her husband's best friend, I think is important there, because he doesn't want Like,
you just want to incriminate anyone. If someone has done something, it's not.
Exactly. If someone has done something, but even if someone, being the stag, I know you get put in certain positions on a stag do. Nothing like bad, nothing that's ever going to, you know, ruin your relationship, yeah. for example. But it's just something where some people might be better off not knowing about it because they'll overthink it.
Yeah.
So, for example,
if
he said...
We all act differently with our friends, don't we?
Absolutely. And if he turned around and said, yeah, it was great, Dave got a lap dance from someone in, you know, a 20-minute lap dance from someone in Budapest, Dave's the stag in this scenario, right? If that then gets back to Dave's fiancé,
yeah.
it just, like, he won't want to tell anything, not because... unless he's acting completely different since he's got home. I get it, there's some people...
You don't know what people's relationships are like. Like, for me, if Michael went on a stag do and he got a lap dance, that it does not bother me.
Comes with the territory.
Because I just think, like, we've been to one together. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I, like, it honestly doesn't bother me. Like, I just think, oh, right, well, that's what you did. But, and I would expect him to be like, yeah, we went to this thing, got this dance. Like, and to be fair, he'd probably be like, and I just looked at the floor and I just got really embarrassed. But other people are really bothered about it. Other people are like, some people would class it as like, a form of cheating or whatever. Mm. And you can't risk that, can you? Like, it's not your place.
From a bloke's perspective, having been on a few stag do's now, I think the thing is if it got back to either the fiancé or someone, you know, someone's other half, that something had happened, or, you know, something, even if it's innocuous, something innocuous happened, but it got back to them, people would be like, who's been saying about this? Like, there's a sort of bond of trust
yeah.
there that we all say, yeah, it was good. We all got a bit smashed.
That bond of trust isn't necessarily, oh, that yeah, he shagged 500 yeah. people and he snogged all these people. Do you know what I mean? It's just
I think it's
behaviour that might...
It depends on what you think of your, you know, husband's friendship group, because...
And I don't, like she's saying, does that mean something bad happened? I don't think it doesn't necessarily mean something bad happened. It just means... It means that, you know, I don't know, like if I went out with my friends and I don't know, like was sick all over myself, I don't think I'd want other people's boyfriends to know that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like if my friends were going back to their boyfriends and the next time I see them for dinner, like I don't want them to know that. Like it's fine for my friends, but that doesn't mean I didn't do anything bad.
No.
Like I just did something embarrassing.
If your other half's being physically different to you days after the event, maybe something did happen. But either way, whether something did or something didn't, if you keep pestering him about it, you're not going to suddenly, you know, weasel the answer out of him. It's just going to ruin your relationship and also ruin that trust where if he then says, I've got another stag do to go on then, you're going to start all these thoughts up in your head again anyway.
But I also hate the thought of like that stereotype as well of like just women.
You just can't remember.
Very true, Michael. I hate that stereotype of like a woman being like, oh God, what are they doing on a stag do? Because I guess that men feel that as well when people are on their hen do's. Like, yeah. And do you know what I think it is as well? I think it's a bit of, sometimes when people are like that, it's maybe a bit of jealousy of being like, oh, I'm not in the club. Like, I want to know, I want to be part of this private gang joke thing. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I find this quite strange as well because this is not the wife-to-be saying, oh, my husband's
exactly.
been on a stag do. It's the... husband, yeah, like also not, do you like your husband's friends?
Exactly. I think that's half the thing here is if you have hung around with his friends enough and know that they're not a really bad influence, basically no one's going to do anything, no one's going to be forced to do anything they wouldn't do anyway.
Yeah,
so if someone went on a stag do and cheated on someone, they were going to cheat with them anyway.
Yeah, they could have done that in Blackpool
100%. So like, whether it be a stag do, a lad's holiday, a weekend away with, you know, whatever,
work,
it's going to happen regardless. But
also,
it is not uncommon for all the group of a stag do to come back. And whether it be the person's other half or even just people outside of the group who say, like, what was the stag do like? You ain't going to go, yeah, it was great. First night, we got absolutely battered. Second night, we did this. They're going to tell you. And also, your husband, maybe after, like, the wedding... or maybe at the wedding even, will reveal more information. Because after that, at that point, you go like, oh yeah, have a few drinks at the wedding. Oh, do you remember what the time on the stag do one? I fully anticipate that happening with
also,
one
like,
when it comes to mine.
Put yourself in the other situation. Like, if you were the one that was on the hen do, and certain little things happened, and he was probing, and you didn't want to say.
Exactly.
Like, would would you, you know, that it's quite annoying, isn't it? Like, and I do understand the frustration of going like, well, what, tell me what happened. Because, I mean, I'm saying women, like, me and Michael are nosy bitches. Yeah. Like, we love knowing everything.
Yeah.
We are curtain twitching nosy bitches. And that's half of the point as well, is that people want to know. Do you know what I mean? But I think your advice is great. Like, unless they're being physically different to you, they're, you know, hiding their phone, they're being really weird.
Yeah.
Then ask some questions. But if not, they just went on a stag do and got fucked.
Yeah. I tell my missus everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get home today and go, right, love, sit down. Thursday night, we got here. This happened. Then this happened. Then this happened. Then so this person in the group made me do this and this. It's not going to happen. But she, like, if he feels like he needs to get something off his chest and tell you something, he will, but he certainly won't do it when he's been backed into a corner by you there.
Yeah.
Look, it just comes with the territory, with whether it's a stag do or a hen do, the stuff you will never, ever find out that happened,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you're other half cheated on you.
So you're basically saying that there's stuff on your stag do that no one will ever, ever find out?
Probably, yeah.
I've been on many a hen do, and the word I would use is savages. It's funny, you know, put a woman in a room. I went to see Full Monty, the play, the other week, and I've seen it a few times. A few of my friends are in it. And, it, you know, it's a full-fledged play. But the women were going wild. Mm. It was like we were in the Chippendales, do you know what I mean? And the sight of a bum cheek, people were like, ah, oh my God. And there is something to be said about putting women in that room. So we do have a dilemma here. So this is Ross, 22, from Aberdeen. Hi, Jess. I'm a function singer doing lots of gigs at birthday parties, weddings, etc. I've just been booked for my first hen do at this big house in the country. They've asked if I want to stay over for the night. God, is he charging extra? Should I accept the invite, or is that just asking for trouble? It would be a long drive home late at night. P.S. I'm single. Ross, you're gagging for it.
Wow. He knows what he's getting into.
Right, we could be taking this the wrong way. One, they're being polite and saying there's a room for you.
Yeah.
But two, you will be in a house full of women / gay men.
Yes.
Which is the hen do's that I've been on. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've just said, I've been on hen do's and I've seen women with children and a husband and a high-powered job and a very normally sensible, you know, rip another woman to the floor in a game to win a plastic cock.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's as soon as that little willy straw goes into that drink...
As soon as the sashes come out.
As soon as, you know, the kids are at home, the sashes are out, the headbands are on. It's like a new personality. Mm. What do you think about this?
So my experience of hen do's is the film Bridesmaids. So I think...
Which is quite a true representation.
I was going to say, it sounds like a quite a... kind of sort of covers all bases. There's the naive ones who are just like, oh no, this will be nice.
Let's do a Disney theme.
They're the ones who are just like, this is all about the bride and just making sure she has a good time. And then there's always the one wild card of the one person who's like, this is my only time away this year.
The woman in Bridesmaids, when she's like, exactly. She's got four boys and she's like, Vegas.
Yeah.
they're like, where should we go for this? She's like, Vegas. Now. Like... That's her answer to it.
Yeah. It's an interesting dilemma because it sounds like he's already made up his mind. He's convincing himself in the last part of that message
that
he's staying.
Yeah, I love that he's put, P.S. I'm single.
Yeah.
Now,
no shit.
I went on a hen do. I organised my friend Carla's hen do and we booked a guy for a life drawing class.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big... country manor, but we booked him in the middle of the day, and I think it was on like the second or third day, and also like it was a mixture of gay men and girls, and we'd not been drinking this day, and I wouldn't say there's particularly girls in the group that are like that. So basically we did a few of the drawings and stuff and we had a laugh, but then we decided that for the rest of his time, we wanted to do a question and answer time with him.
Right.
So we were like, put your clothes on and let's just ask you some questions. I think he was like, he asked for our numbers afterwards, like wanted to stay in touch with the group as the friend. Because we were just like, listen, put it away. And we just want to talk to you. But he was saying like, pretty much everyone he goes to, he gets offers to sleep with the bride. Yeah. The bridesmaid, he gets like, he said that he's had a lot of maid of honors be like, listen, like, we'll pay you, like, can you like sleep with the bride? We'll pay you extra. Or,
wow.
Yeah, he said there's been a lot of time, there's not been a time when, not just the bride, but he's not been offered sex. So, I mean, listen, if you're a little, if you want to do a bit of singing and then stay in a country manor with a load of girls and get your end away, then. And you're not, I mean, don't sleep with the bride.
No.
or anyone that's got a partner. But.
Fuck them all.
Michael says fuck them all. but, yeah, like, how, right, okay. If you, so your fiancé, let's say she was going to a country manor, they would got a singer in, and you found out that they just, they'd said to him, oh, it's a long job, you can stay the night. How would you feel?
Again, it's sort of, it's individual to each person. I mean, I trust Anne-Louise wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even be that bothered if he was staying where they were. But.
But would you think that's a bit weird?
I definitely think it's that's not a normal thing. I mean, there's a solution that I thought of. I realised that he might be in the middle of nowhere, but surely just like book an Airbnb in the nearest town.
Well, that should be part of your fee. Like your digs fee. No.
Yeah. The worst scenario is you're going there, going they're going to want this, and in reality they're quite naive and they're just being
all
nice.
Reserved, and then just being like, okay, it's 9 o'clock, you finished your set, up to bed, like
we'll be the living room's ours now, good night.
He's thinking naked, hot models, pillows, feathers everywhere, which we've all seen Hindus around when we've been out. They don't
I live in Newcastle.
They don't look like that. Also, I don't know if this would be weird the other way around, but like, just because they're women, they could be any, they could be killers. You don't know. Like, if I booked a gig and a massive group of men were like, want to stay in this country mansion after you've finished? I'd be like, no, because you're going to kill me. Like, that's actually being very trusting because they're women. Like, you don't know them.
No. Airbnb, nearest town. Then you can have the best of both worlds. If you get there and they're all, it turns out it's just the bride and eight of her hottest single supermodel mates.
Yeah, because that's defo going to happen.
Jackpot, you know there's a bed there anyway for you.
Yeah, and like go with the flow.
You've got your escape plan of like, well, that's me.
So go and do your set. You'll be able to gauge the atmosphere. Mm. If you feel like staying on for a couple of drinks and you're like...
Exactly, yeah.
But like, don't forward plan it. Don't turn up with a bucket full of condoms and lube. Like, you're asking
Which
for trouble.
Which room's mine? Who am I sharing with? Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a guest. I mean, you have been listening to Adam Wilborn on Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming. I think this is going to be so weird because at the end of this episode, it's going to be you.
Yeah, it's going to be a version of me before I was ruined by three nights in Amsterdam.
So, to be fair, I know someone that does a very good impression that could give you your own outro. Michael, can you do the outro for us? You say you've been listening to Adam Wilborn on Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
You've been listening to Adam Wilborn on Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Yeah!
I am going to be out of a job at this rate. Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Vagina Monopod.
Hello and welcome to the Vagina Monopod. Woo!
Woo!
I'm an actress, Sasha Parkinson. You may know me best from shows like Mr. Selfridge or My Mad Fat Diary. I feel like I'm reeling off my IMDb.
CV. I am Molly Wright. I am also an actress. What have I done?
The A word.
The A word.
Apostasy.
Bit of Our Girl.
Our Girl.
Apostasy.
Forgot about that.
2 weeks of Our Girl.
A little backstory as to how the Vagina Monoblogs came about. As a person anyway, I've always been quite open, especially from about 16, 17. I just kind of then couldn't shut up about periods. I'd happily tell anyone I was on it. I didn't really shy away from talking about myself in that way. I was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2016. And then that kind of just spurred me on really to be more vocal on social media about menstrual health We are not medical experts, but we will be getting
really
people...
Not.
No, we're really not. But we will be having the experts on. So if you have any questions you'd like answering, please get in touch and send them over to the Vagina Monoblogs on Instagram. We hope you join us for the next 10 episodes of more menstrual health discussion.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Vaginas!
The Vagina Monopod from Sound Rebel. Search for it now on your favourite podcast app.